Welcome to the Turning Point Community Church Change Your World podcast with lead pastor John Wagner. Turning Point strives to bring fresh insight and powerful truths from God's unchanging word. Now, here's John with today's message.
Acts chapter 3. The book of Acts, written by Dr. Luke as a sequel to his gospel, is probably called the Acts of the Apostles in your Bible, but it's probably better named the Acts of the Holy Spirit through the Apostles. What we'll read happened literally just weeks after the resurrection of Jesus. It is the first recorded miracle done through the Apostles. Acts chapter 3, we'll begin right in verse 1. Where it says, "Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour," that would be 3 p.m. "And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, 'Look at us.' So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, 'Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk.' And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him." There's so much to this story. I'm thinking we're going to come back here even next week and take a look at the story from a completely different angle, but there's so much in here. But I think one of the ideas that's really important, especially what we're going to be talking about today, is the idea, the element in this story of expectation. Most often in the New Testament, expectation is simply translated as hope. Hope in Greek is the word elpis, and it means a confident expectation of good. So I'm going to start with a statement today that, generally speaking, in life, you get what you expect. Somebody thinks, well, you know, if I open up my heart, you know, they're just going to betray me, and you get what you expect. I always have this same problem. This always happens to me, and you get what you expect. I never get ahead. I'll never amount to anything. No one really likes me. No one really respects me. No one really cares about me. My father had this issue. My grandfather before him, and so do I. This is just who I am. These are the cards that I was dealt. I'll never change, and you get what you expect. So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something. Say those four words with me. Expecting to receive something. Say them again louder. Expecting to receive something from them. So I'm just gonna ask the question right now. What are you expecting to receive? We are here today to raise our expectations. But it takes courage to raise your expectations. But really, that's what faith is for, by the way, to raise your expectations. It's the very definition of faith. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1, it says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for." Elpis, confident expectation. Faith is the substance of your confident expectation, the evidence of things not seen. So faith gives substance to what you're expecting. Faith undergirds hope. It's the substratum of your expectation. But most people don't raise their expectations because they're afraid of disappointment. They'd rather settle for down here than reach for up here because they don't want to be disappointed. But my family, you cannot receive anything you are not reaching for. And if you don't see better, you don't do better. No wonder Peter and John tell the man, look at us. Look at us. You know, we too once were lame. We were lost. Peter might have said, I was a foul-mouthed fisherman who didn't think Jesus wanted to remotely be anywhere around me. But look at me now. Look at us. Follow me as I follow Christ. Look at what the Lord has done. And I think it is important for us to look at and celebrate and learn from and be inspired by what the Lord has done in other people's lives. You missed a good spot to say amen, but that's all right. Truth is, most people would rather settle for less, where everything is routine, than break their pattern. Their thought patterns and their behavioral patterns and their repeated overreactions or bad habits or learned behaviors, the daily routine that has them in a rut. Verse 2, it says, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask for alms from those who entered in. It's all he's ever known. Yeah, it's one thing to have once walked. But if all you've ever known is lameness, it's hard to develop an appetite for wholeness. For instance, if all you've ever seen is impulsive spending, you might like the idea of saving, but you gravitate toward what you have seen. If all you've ever seen your whole life is callous and cold harshness towards people, well, you might like the ideas of kindness and compassion and human connection, but you will gravitate toward what you have seen. If all you've ever seen is defensiveness, you might like the ideas of things like vulnerability and openness, but you gravitate towards what you have seen. You are attracted to what you are exposed to. You wind up wanting what your normal is. Anytime you've been lame in a given area of life, in other words, you've been intimidated all your life, or you've been angry all of your life, or you've been envious all of your life, you've been a chronic fault finder all of your life, anytime you've been lame in a given area of life, all of your life, you develop a norm around negativity. Let me ask you a question. Has your negativity become normal? The lame man has built a routine around his disability. Routine is what you build around what you think you can't change. That's not a PowerPoint slide, it's not on your outline, but you ought to write that down. Routine is what you build around what you think you can't change. Whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful. Every morning, this man woke up and never expected to walk. So he would call for somebody to pick him up, and he would call for somebody to carry him, and then to lay him at that same exact spot every day, daily. Every day, he wound up at the same spot. Ever been there? No matter what you wear, how you did your hair, where you go to lunch, at the end of the day, you're at the same spot. No progress, no growth, no advancement, just the same old, same old. See, because when life becomes routine and you expect nothing more than to wind up in the same spot, after a while, the light goes out of your eyes. A cloud of dullness and hopelessness seems to set in. And now, notice this as well, that this man was laid at the gate of the temple, and that's important. So everyone else is going into the temple. He never did. He didn't expect to go in. He just expected the religious people, the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the rabbis and all the others to as they're going in, he expected them just to, you know, throw a few coins into his cup. And by the way, that's what religion will do. It'll throw a few coins into your cup. But religion will never heal you. Only the name of Jesus does that. Only a relationship with God does that. Peter and John represent relationship. Everybody else was going in, but he was laid near. It's a frustrating thing to see everyone else going in, and you're just going near. After years of a daily routine that gets you near, but not in, you start thinking, maybe I'm not supposed to go in. Maybe others, but not me. Maybe I'm not meant to be happy. Maybe I'm not meant to be loved. Maybe I'm not supposed to be accepted. Maybe I don't belong. When we don't go in, we start to make excuses. And excuses comfort incapacity. You ought to write that down too. Excuses comfort incapacity. Well, you know, I would have gone further if my parents would have supported me, or if I would have had more education, or if I had more money, or if I chose a different career path. And then the list goes on and on and on and on. When you make a routine out of your immobility, when you make a routine out of complaining and blaming, when you routinely settle for less, it will incapacitate you. If all you want to be is laid daily at the gate, that may be all that you get. There's a story in John chapter 5 where Jesus goes to the pool of Bethesda at a place called Solomon's Porch. And it is said there that there's multitudes of disabled people who go to this place waiting for the stirring of the water to go in and maybe get healed, some sort of legend. And so Jesus shows up at the pool of Bethesda, and he goes directly to a man who's been lame for 38 years. And he goes to that man, and he asks him a question. He says, do you want to be made well? King James Version says, do you want to be made whole? Kind of sounds like a Captain Obvious kind of question, right? He's lame. He's at the place where people are supposed to get healed. And Jesus asks him, do you want to be made well? Do you know that that should have been an easy question? That should have been, yeah. But he doesn't do that. The man starts to make excuses for why he's not well. And the same is true today. I mean, I'm sure you know people. I'm sure there's nobody in this room like this. But other people outside of this room, I'm sure you know people. That's like, do you want to get better? Well, you know, this, that, the other thing. Do you want to be made whole? Do you want to be made well? Do you want to be healed? Do you want to have a greater experience of peace and joy? Do you want to realize your purpose? Do you want to increase your influence? Do you want to break free from addiction? Do you want to break the chains of generational dysfunction? Do you want to apprehend that for which you've been apprehended? Do you want a more meaningful engagement in relationship? Do you want greater clarity and direction and opportunity? Do you want to live again? Do you want to have a rich relationship with God? Do you want to be made whole? My family, you've got to want it. You got to want it. We said it last week. Set out from your place and go after it. Listen, somebody can teach you how to cook. They could teach you how to cook gourmet foods or comfort foods or French cuisine. Someone can teach you how to cook, but no one can teach you how to be hungry. And Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 5. He said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Listen, there's all kinds of cooking classes, but there are no hunger classes. But I will tell you this. I'm going to tell you what I believe. I believe that Turning Point Community Church attracts the hungry. I believe you're here today because you are hungry for more. You're hungry for the savory, and you're hungry for the healthy, and you're hungry for the milk and the meat. You are hungry until your soul becomes fat. I believe we attract people who want some good soul food. Amen. 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 Thank you for that smattering. Okay. In other words, you've been hurt, but you're hungry. You've been disappointed, but you're hungry. You've been misrepresented and you've been neglected, or you've been abused, or you've been taken advantage of, or forgotten, or overlooked, or undervalued, but you're hungry. Let me ask you a question. Do you have the courage to be hungry? To raise your expectations, to not settle for less, but to settle for more. Back to the man at the gate. He's at the gate to the temple. Pharisees, Sadducees, rabbis, regular temple goers are going in through the gate. Religion walked right past the man. Because religion is in itself its own routine. Religion's always walking right past him. Religion throws coins in his cup, but cannot raise him up. When you receive a few coins thrown into your cup, you know, you get, here's what you get. You get comfort for your crisis. It doesn't change anything, but you feel a little better. Well, you went to church. I went to church. I feel better. Religion always throws a few coins into the cup of routine. How many of you know that church can become a routine if there's no expectation? Well, it's Sunday, so I go to church. Here's the problem. Church is not about going. Church is about expecting. It is. Did you know that you could be right in the presence of God and not get healed, not receive, not be changed, not even be affected because you didn't expect to? Luke chapter 5, Jesus is preaching in Capernaum. There's a house jam-packed with people. Nobody can even get in the place. There's standing room only. Everybody's there. But notice something that is said about that setting. In Luke chapter 5, in verse 17, the Bible says, "Now it happened on a certain day, as he," Jesus, "was teaching, that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by, who had come out of every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem." Watch this, ready? "And the power of the Lord was present to heal them." Say that last sentence with me, ready? "And the power of the Lord was present to heal them." The power of the Lord was present. Sure it was. Jesus was there. You know those guys are sitting on the front row, pomp and circumstance, hats, phylacteries, because the Bible said to have the word on your mind, so they took that very literally and put a box on their head with a little scroll in it. All these dudes are there. They're on the, they came from everywhere, Pharisees from everywhere, Galilee, Judea, Jerusalem. They're all there, and can I tell you something? Not one of them got healed. The power of the Lord is present to heal them. Not one of them got healed. Not one of them received anything. The only man who received anything was a man who was on a mat, whose friends had expectation that if they would come and bring him through the roof and let him down in front of Jesus, what did Jesus do? He forgave him and he healed him. That man was made whole. You see, my family, if you just expect to go to church, all you'll do is go to church. All you'll get is a few coins clanking around in your cup. But when you come to church, if you expect to hear a word from God, you will. If you expect to receive from the Spirit, you will. If you expect a touch way down deep in your soul as you worship in song, you will. If you expect God to use you to minister to somebody else, guess what? He will. It's called faith, and it undergirds your expectation. Here's what Solomon, the wisest man on the earth at the time, tells us. In Ecclesiastes 5:1, he said, "Walk prudently when you go to the house of God and draw near to hear." Say those four words with me. Draw near to hear. Say it again. Draw near to hear rather than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they do not know that they do evil. Turn to somebody next to you and tell them, say, draw near to hear. Go ahead, tell them, draw near to hear. And this stuff doesn't just apply to church, this applies to life. You know, break up your routine. Go somewhere you don't normally go. Read something you don't normally read. Call someone and encourage someone that you haven't talked to in years. Speak life where you routinely spoke negativity. Sing a song that you haven't sung in years. Can I just tell you, it's how I start every day. I get the dogs, and we go outside, and we walk in the neighborhood, the four of us, me, Teddy, Cooper, and Jesus, right? We walk through the neighborhood. We do. And I'll tell you the first thing I do is I sing. The neighbors might think I'm a little cuckoo, but I'm out there with the dogs and I'm singing. And you know what I do? I sing the old songs. I sing the songs that, like, I remember from 30 plus years ago. I start with, I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice. Lord, you are more precious than silver. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary. Now, I'm thinking about putting on headphones so that people think I'm singing along with my iTunes, but I've also come to the conclusion of who cares. Write an email to someone you haven't talked to in a long time and tell them about the goodness of God in your life, right? Do something you haven't done. Take a faith-filled risk. Be strong and of good courage, the Bible says. Cross over a threshold that has formerly intimidated you. Pray a prayer where you ask God for something big, honking big, so big that you know 100% that you cannot possibly provide it for yourself. Look up and expect to receive something. Peter and John say, look on us, which, by the way, is a statement of boldness and not brashness. It is a statement of confidence and not arrogance, because you want to know why they said it? Because they knew what they had. They had a confident expectation of good. You want to know why? Because they had a relationship with Jesus. They knew Jesus. What Paul would tell Timothy years later, he said, for this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. Say that with me. For I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day. So the lame man at the gate, beautiful, looks at them expecting to receive something. And Peter replies, silver and gold have I none. That's how it's written in the King James. Silver and gold have I none. And what he is saying is, I know what you are expecting, but I have something better. They're not saying they're broke. They are saying, this is going to be beyond the realm of your expectation. You have been receiving at a lower level, so your expectation is at that level. Your negativity has become your normal. You are expecting a few silver or gold coins, but silver and gold will not fix you. And I'm not here to give you what you want. I'm here to give you what you need. I am not here to give you what will not work. I am not here to pat you on the head. I'm not here to coddle you. I am not here to give you a token of pity. I will not give you what will not holistically heal you. Silver and gold have I none. Empty solutions have I none. Temporary quick fixes have I none. Numbing agents have I none. Superficial band-aids have I none. That's not why we're here. I'm here to lift you. I'm here to lift your expectations. I'm here to lift your faith. I'm here to lift your image of yourself. I'm here to lift you out of the miry clay so that your feet can be put on a rock. I'm not going to give you measly silver or gold. That's not what I have to give. I have something better. I have something higher. I have something deeper. I have something that'll last. I have something that's eternal. I have something that will transform you. I have something that will open blind eyes and deaf deaf ears, something that'll translate you out of darkness and bring you into his marvelous light. I have something that will change you from the inside out. I've got something that'll make you from a pauper to a prince. It'll take you from a beggar to an ambassador. I have something that'll take you from rejection to acceptance, from filthy rags to a royal robe of righteousness. I have something that will take you and make you from a person that others look down on to something and someone that people look up to. Silver and gold, please. Peter and John knew what they had. Yeah, they knew what they had. They knew what they had in the name of Jesus. They knew they had power. They knew they had delegated authority. They knew that the name of the Lord was a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And I want you to see something. I want you to notice something. They didn't pray for the man. Did you notice? They didn't pray for him. They didn't say, Lord, if thy will be to heal him. They didn't do that. They didn't fast. They didn't tarry. They didn't call the 1-800 prayer hotline. They didn't email the intercessory prayer chain. They didn't post it on Facebook or Instagram. They didn't pray for him. They didn't talk to God about him. They didn't ask God to do anything. They spoke to his condition. They didn't speak to God about the adversity. They spoke to the adversity about God. They commanded his condition. They spoke to his circumstance. And people don't do that today because they're afraid it won't work. Fear, intimidation, self-protection, lack of courage. We don't command conditions to change. We don't command the wind and the waves. We don't command the storm to be still. We don't speak to the mountain and tell it to be removed into the sea, which is exactly what Jesus told us to do. But we don't do those things because we're afraid to look bad in the eyes of others if nothing happens. Or we're afraid that people will think we're fanatical and we're way over the top, right? So here's what happens. Supernatural power gets sacrificed on the altar of superficial popularity. Or we're afraid that it won't work and we'll just get disappointed. So faith gets sacrificed on the altar of fear. But not these guys. Not these guys, right? Pete and Johnny are bold. Pedro and Juan are bold, right? These guys are bold. They're courageous. They absolutely believe. They're fully convinced. They're fully persuaded. They expect something out of this world. They expect something divine is going to happen by the power of the name of Jesus. They believe that God has also highly exalted him and given him a name which is above all names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven, of things in the earth, and of things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. They believe that. They know that the name of Jesus supersedes everything that incapacitates, that the name of Jesus supersedes everything that paralyzes. So they speak, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Rise up. Turn to the person next to you and tell them, rise up. Tell the person on the other side, tell them, rise up. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. So they speak, and the man gets up, right? Now, that's not what happens. Not immediately. Notice the very next thing that is said in verse 7. And he, that's Peter, took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. They spoke the word. And then they took him by the hand. They spoke the word, and then in other words, they said, get up. We're not going to let you lay here. We're not going to let you stay here. We're not going to let you lick your wounds any longer. This is the last day that you'll be laid in the same spot at this gate. My family, you have to be around people who will yank you up, not just people who will just put coins in your cup. You want people around you who will say to you, you're better than this. Now get up. You need people in your life who love you for you, not for what you can do for them. It is imperative to have people in your life who are friends that stick closer than a brother. Not just friends of the good times, but friends who love at all times. It is paramount to have people in your life who will not just throw coins in your cup. People who are okay with you being lame as long as they're walking. People who are okay with you being outside the gate as long as they can get in. It is mega important to have people in your life who will not RSVP to your pity party, who will not enable your lameness. Sympathize, yes. Empathize, yes. Enable, no. You need people who will speak life, who will speak the word, who know who they are in Christ and what they have in him, who will speak that word to you, and if need be, will reach down, snatch you out of self-pity and despair, yank you out of the muck and the mire. They'll grab you and they'll lift you until you receive strength and you can get back on your own 2 feet again. You got to trust someone. You got to trust someone to challenge you to break your routine. Because if you don't, you'll likely stay in the same spot, in the same condition. And listen, you can't hang around people in the same condition as you. People can't give what they don't have. If you're just hanging out where misery loves company, And all the people around you, all that they do is complain and bellyache and gossip and hate on others. Can I just tell you something? They can't lift you. They can't lift you. It is vital to get around people who will challenge you to change. Who are at a place, those people are at a place in their walk with God that they can help you walk, where they can impart something to you. People who have a certain depth to them, people who have a certain understanding and experience and familiarity with the Word of God, that people that have not perfection, but an authentic relationship with Jesus. You know, there's another place in the book of Acts where unbelievers are observing Peter and John. They're seeing them minister. They're seeing what's happening through them. And here's what these people say as they watch Peter and John. They say, wait a minute. Who are these guys? They say, they're untrained and uneducated men. They haven't sat at the feet of the certified religious leaders. They haven't sat at the feet of the Pharisees. They haven't sat at the seat, you know, at the feet of rabbis. They're untrained. They're uneducated. They haven't gone to seminary. They haven't done that. They're untrained and they're uneducated men. But here's the next phrase that these people say as they observe Peter and John. They're untrained and uneducated men, but they noticed that they had been with Jesus. My family, the boldness displayed by Peter and John is because they had been with Jesus. They knew who he was. They knew who they were in him, and they knew what they had in his name. And if you find someone who knows who Jesus is and who knows who they are in him and who knows the power that there is in his name, and if that person stretches out their hand to you, and if you have the courage and the humility to stretch out your hand back, can I just tell you something? Something's going to happen. Something awesome is going to happen. And even beyond the human connection, which again is very important, certainly in this story, it's very powerful, but beyond the human connection, I am here to tell you today that the Lord is stretching out his hand toward you to break your pattern, to break your routine, to lift your expectations, to lift your life. Now, there was another time when Jesus was in the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and the Bible says that there was a man with a withered hand there. And the Pharisees are watching Jesus because they want to see if he's going to do work on the Sabbath day and therefore break the law in their mind. And so Jesus knows their thoughts, the Bible says. He knows their evil and twisted thoughts. And so he looks at the Pharisees and he says, well, you know, if one of you have a sheep or an oxen that falls into a hole on the Sabbath day, will you get him out? Is it okay to do evil or is it okay to do good on the Sabbath day? And then the Bible says this, and I love the way the Bible says it. The Bible says, and Jesus looks at them, so he's looking at the Pharisees, and he says to him, the man with the withered hand. So it's kind of like in basketball, you know, like a no-look pass. So Jesus is like, he looks at them, and he says to him, stretch out your hand. And the man stretches out his hand, and it is made as whole as the other. And Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. My family, stretch out your hand, stretch out your faith, stretch out your expectation and rise up. See, Peter and John, they were there. They were in the synagogue that day when that happened. They saw the man with the withered hand get healed, so they saw it. They get it. And when Peter and John are representing, what they are representing, what they are communicating, when Peter says, silver and gold have I none, is not that they're broke. But what they are saying is you've been settling for a lower quality of life, but in the name of Jesus, there is an incomparably better quality of life for you. There is healing. There is joy. There are new beginnings. There's strength for your spirit, soul, and body. There's abundant life for the whole person. There's power to rise up, walk, and even leap for joy. What they're saying is, listen, the priests of this temple that walk right by and throw a few coins into your cup. Well, let me just tell you something, sir. There's a new priest in town. There's a new high priest, and he's the high priest over a better covenant based on better promises. And his name is Jesus. He's a high priest after the order of Melchizedek forever. And he is your healer, and he is your redeemer, and he's the one who will restore you to a place that you've never been before. He makes nobody into somebody. He makes the blind see. He makes the deaf hear. He makes the lame to walk. He raises the dead. So in his name, receive a brand new life. Final thought, verses 7 and 8, and he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately, say that word with me, immediately, his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. Think about this with me. The man had been incapacitated all his life. But his eyes worked because he looked on them. His mouth worked. He could speak. His ears worked. He heard them. Ready? Even his legs worked. The only thing that didn't work were his ankle bones. And I'm not downplaying his disability, but understand this, that a little thing in your life can shut down everything. I said a little thing in your life can shut down everything. See, God knows the little thing that has shut you down. He knows the little thing that has shut you down. Now, the use of the word immediately here is to juxtapose his condition. So it's immediately versus being laid there for decades. It's immediately versus, you know, being lame his whole life, which means, ready, that his recovery would not look like his history. His recovery would not look like his history. Will you say that with me today? His recovery would not look like his history. God gave him an immediate solution to a lifelong problem. And our God can do that. Our God does that, by the way. Listen, at the age of 20, I had already been doing drugs for years. But on Easter Sunday, 1984, I was made free. I was delivered immediately. You see, anybody who's never walked, ever, obviously they need to go through therapy because, you know, muscles, tendons, nerves need to be trained how to walk. Even a child has to learn how to walk through a process. But the Bible says here that God is able to bypass all that and cause him to walk and even leap immediately. His ankles receive strength, and listen, ready? And now he walks where he never walked before. He rose to a new level that he'd never been at before. His perspective, his vantage point, entirely different. He would go places that he'd never gone before. He entered a temple that he had never entered before. His low expectations were shattered for good. He saw God differently. He saw himself differently. He walked, he leaped, and he gave God the praise for it. I am sure that this guy was emotionally wrecked with thankfulness. He's probably weeping with gratitude. What a feeling, right? What a feeling to be healed. What a feeling to be delivered. What a feeling to receive newness of life. What a feeling to have God utterly obliterate your low expectations and take you to new places in him. To walk and to leap and to praise God. My family, it's time. I said it's time. It's time to shatter debilitating patterns. It is time to break routines that have us stuck in a rut. Listen, your recovery will not look like your history. It's time to get hungry again. It's time to believe and receive. It's time to let God rewrite our expectations. You want to know why? Because he is able. He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or even think, according to the power that is at work in you.
Turning Point reaches people by teaching Jesus with creative excellence. If you would like to learn more about Turning Point Community Church and its ministries, visit us on the web at tpcconline.com. We're located on the northwest corner of 114th Street and Quaker Avenue in Lubbock, Texas. Our service times are Sunday mornings at 9 and 11 a.m. Thank you for listening to today's message. Join us next week for another message that will change your world.